Welcome to the Hodlopping Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Good to see you, Ryan. Good to be in the same town for a few days. Padres Cardinals coming up. Padres just won a series. Stopped their series losing streak by taking 2 of 3 from the Giants. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Yeah, I'd like to start with yesterday. The Padres salvaged the series yesterday, took 2 of 3. Got big contributions from their bench, from notably Ty France. And I think that this is where I'd like to start today. This is yet another game where they've been, I think, bailed out by a guy who probably was not in their big league plans as of early March. You've seen that happen already this year with a number of role players. To me, Kevin, this is what good teams do. Walk me through sort of the evolution of this Padres roster and lineup and what guys like Ty France have been doing here in the first month.
It is what good teams do. I think it's really cool that you brought it up and you said it that way, because the issue is I feel like they've had a season's worth of having their role players contribute, because we look back on 2024 and Donovan Solano and David Peralta, right? And like, that's the example of what you want to be, right? Where your stars are, for the most part, doing your heavy lifting, and they're the guys that you like, you remember the big moments. But then there was also the David Peralta games and the Donovan Solano big hits, and I feel like that's almost all we've had now. Yes, each of the big four, core four, have had moments, but like, it can't keep going on like this is where I want to start. And then I want to say, man, you are spot on. Like, you can't just have 2 or 3 guys. You have to have a whole team. The lineup does have to have length. And this is as deep a Padres team as I have covered. And if I look back, it's like they're 22 and 14. I was looking at the best starts, 36 games in team history. And one of them was 2010. Now tell me, Ryan, your vast Padres knowledge, like, how the heck did that team win? Because there's answers. How did that team win 90 games?
Platooning. It was depth. It was luck, some of it. And I seem to remember that they went sort of crashing and burning and skidding into September. But they
would have made the playoffs in a, they would have been like a number 3 seed in a 16 playoff.
Right. In the new world. Right. And you got, if I recall correctly, pretty good performances by guys like the Everett Cabreras of the world. Right. Was that the team where they were platooning Seth Smith and Kristen Orfia, or was that later?
No, that was later. 2010, 90 wins. There's one star. There were good players. Chase Headley, Tony sure. Gwynn Jr. probably had, sure. I don't want to insult him, but probably his best year. I think it was like a 2.5 war. And obviously Adrian Gonzalez was a stud. We were talking peak Adrian Gonzalez, and they had excellent pitching. Mm-hmm. But that's a real outlier of how a team wins 90 games.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right. To me, what's interesting, Kevin, is you look at sort of AJ Preller's, let's say, completion percentage or batting average on these guys who's taking a flyer on, right? You look last year, man, you know, Yuli Gurriel didn't work out. Jason Hayward didn't work out. There was never a moment when either of those guys looked like they were going to work out either, right? He hit big on Gavin Sheets last year. This year, you look at it, Ty France, to me, has been a real find, somebody who I think was just going to be World Baseball Classic fodder while the other guys were gone. He was going to play in some spring training games. He makes the club, and not only has he made the club, but he's playing and he's hitting. Nick Castellanos was off to a dreadful, dreadful start. We were talking 2 weeks ago about him not being here much longer. He's had some big hits. To me, they filled the bench with veteran guys who, for the most part, are doing what they've been asked to do in terms of contributing. To me, there has not been and Gavin Sheets, we should say, continues to be a very legitimate day-to-day baseball player. I mean, not going to be an all-star, but man, he's great for what they're paying him, especially.
How dare you? But he's not going to be an all-star.
But you look at it, these guys, these flyer guys are really paying off this year. Superstars have to start hitting, but to me, this is a really good sign.
Yes, you summed it up very well. The completion percentage, and that was interesting. You went with the football, and then you changed it to batting average. I really like that. I really appreciate that thought process, because completion percentage does say it. But let's go ahead and stick with baseball. And like, So last year, they knew those two guys weren't going to make it, right? But right. You got to feel your roster sometimes. This year, so Ty France, do they really think he's going to make the roster? No, but you know what they are smart enough to do? Go, what if Sungmon Song isn't as good as we think? What if Sungmon Song's oblique isn't good? They're honest with Ty France. Here's our situation. Guy's hurt. We don't know if we got a spot, but we're going to give you, we love you, just like we loved you when we're the ones who drafted you. And we're the ones who turned you into what we thought was going to be a really good trade for Austin Nola. We love you, Ty. And mm-hmm. and that honesty played with him. And he came here and he earned his spot. And I mean, yeah, it's fantastic. Gosh, go down the list. Yes, they're paying a little bit more between the guaranteed money for Miguel Andujar is $4 million. Still, if he can stay healthy and continue to contribute, as he really has. I mean, he doesn't play much in his career, but as he has contributed, then that's a real good find. It's just that. And I tried today in the newsletter, and I'll try right now to stay in the moment and say, 22-14 is a really, really good record. I am just terribly troubled by the big guys not doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, yeah. And we've talked about this, Kevin. It seems like for a month now, the Padres are not getting contributions from the guys who they pay to contribute. They're patching it together with starting pitching that, quite frankly, shouldn't be as good as it's been. Right. You've got 2/5 of your starting rotation down. You've got another guy in Lucas Giolito who's not up yet. They should not be as good as they are. Now, that could mean one of two things, right? That could mean, hey, special season. When these guys come back, everybody starts hitting, you know, hey, what a team you'll have. It could mean sort of the law of averages evens out, and this is just an average baseball team, right?
Absolutely. They'll try to get creative and kind of nurse these guys like Walker Buehler, who keeps showing promise, and Matt Waldron, like where they used the opener yesterday, because they do have such depth in their bullpen that they can take like what would be most team seventh inning guy and have him be their opener. And they still have, you know, a better seventh inning guy who, by the way, they didn't even use yesterday, Jeremiah Estrada. But like they can use Adrian Morejon, Jason Adam, use Adrian Morejon for 2 innings. That's ridiculous. And then, you know, okay, yeah, we'll give Mason Miller four run cushion and, you know, walk away with a series win. That's just the way that they're able to do it. They've been sort of fortunate. I woke up this morning, thinking, gosh, you know, I should do something on how the bullpen. Last year, I remember like Mike Schilt, and he was a genius at it, but riding this bullpen like a horse down the stretch already at this point in the season, right? Like, and he was smart about it. I'm not like at all. This is an absolute compliment on Mike, but also really fortunate. Like then they'd get blown out and he didn't have to use the bullpen. Rest day. Bad news, you lost, but rest day, right? And Craig hasn't really even had to do that. Like it's weird. Like I feel like this bullpen is extremely rested. They're not on that. Like last year, some of these guys were on pace for like 120 games, which you knew they weren't going to do, right? And I do think they were a little gassed at the end. So I think it's going really well for them in a lot of ways too.
I'd like to bring this up because you mentioned this, and I think that it's worth doubling back on. Craig Stammen, to me, at least through the first month or 5 weeks or 6 weeks of the season, has shown me that he's a guy who's not afraid to, and maybe experiment's not the right word, but he's not afraid to mix it up, right? He doesn't. Mike Schilt was very single-minded. Every game was the Super Bowl, and that worked for him. To me, Craig Stammen's willingness to move guys up and down in the order, willingness to move guys all over the diamond, and frankly, willingness to do what he did yesterday, which is start an opener, hand it off to a knuckleballer, and take your chances. To me, this is a big difference from the last guy. Where does that come from? Is this what AJ Preller's always wanted to do, and now he's got Craig Stammen doing it, or is this a Craig Stammen idea?
It's all of it. It's Ruben Niebla. I mean, they're working together really well, right? Like, let's give Ruben Niebla the kudos of, hey, okay, here's how I think we could fit this together. And then obviously Craig Stammen has his ideas, and he is the guy who will decide. But I mean, I think he's shown just in his dealings with the media and the like giving credit to his coaches and all this, that he is listening in that room as well. Right. Like, I mean, he knows who he's working for and he came in with eyes wide open, which we talked about at the beginning was one of the good things. That doesn't mean that he's a patsy. I'm guaranteeing you, like, Craig is doing things Craig's way within the system. That's called a healthy environment. Right. Craig has ideas, and it's funny you said, you know, you don't want to use the word experiment. And it's like, well, I think Craig would use it, and I think some fans would be like, experiment? What are you doing experimenting with this team? Like, that doesn't mean it's like, oh, we're throwing crap at the wall and seeing if it, you know, blows up and turns into nitrogen, or I don't have any idea how science works. But anyway, I think that's what they do. And no, it's like, hey, let's see what works. I think this will work, and you know what? It's April, or, you know, now it's May. I think you're going to see a little less of it. That's what April is about. But like, hey, I think this is the reality of our team, which, by the way, we know more about the reality of our team than the media or the fans or anybody. Mm-hmm. And here's what we think will work. And I mean, you've seen it kind of a few times where, okay, so now you see this guy can play. Oh, now you see this guy can play this position. Oh, you see this guy needs work. Oh, this pitcher can handle this. Oh, I blew it. I kept this guy in too long. All right, got it. And, you know, I just think it's been really, really good.
Right. Worth noting two things. I think number one, when you have that kind of depth, especially with your batting order, you can move guys around and not get exposed. Right. There were times in the last few years where the guys who hit 7, 8, and 9 for the Padres had to, because they were the three worst hitters on the team. Right. Now you can mix it up a little bit more. Number two, Craig Stammen, maybe we shouldn't be surprised. Craig Stammen is the most famous opener in the history of San Diego Padre baseball. So maybe, yeah, he does understand that openers sometimes work. He won them a playoff game against the aforementioned St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes, in Craig's mind, just so you know, that was a start, okay?
Right. He thought he was pitching the whole nine. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he did go, 2 1/3 or something like that? But anyway, yeah.
The flip side, and what I love about Craig Stammen so far is I think he's vulnerable. He wears it when he makes a mistake, and he made a mistake yesterday. And it led to Ty France being put in the game down a strike. Walk me through that whole 2-minute stretch.
Okay, so you've got Keaton Wynn in pitching, and he gets victimized by a Matt Chapman error, and then he walks a batter. What it ends up is the Padres have runners at second and third. Tony Vitelli, the San Francisco Giants manager, brings in Matt Gage, brings in a left-hander to face Sung Mun Song, left-handed batting number 9 hitter for the Padres. Obviously, the Padres aren't going to rush their pinch hitter out there. They're going to have Vitelli make his pitching change, and then they're going to bring up their right-handed batter. Well, in Craig's mind, okay, I'll say it, rookie manager, but also Xander Bogaerts isn't starting. Sung Mun Song is at short. Sung Mun Song is their second baseman because Jake Cronenworth's on the IL. Fernando Tatis Jr. is not in right field. He's in second base. Got his emergency catcher because Luis Camposano is out. Is Ty France, who he thinks he's going to have pinch hit, but then, okay, going to have to put him at first base and for Gavin Sheets. And then I'm going to have to bring Xander in. I got Castellanos in right. Okay, got everything straight. This is while the pitcher's warming up. They call down for Ty France in the middle of that. Ty France comes up. Craig Stammen thinks that he's got a few more seconds with the pinch hitter or with the pitcher warming up. He doesn't. Sung Mun Song steps in the box. The pitcher's ready to go. Then they call the timeout. Then they put in Ty France. You're assessed a strike. It's just a thing of he got exposed. Something that he has, well, maybe not in that exact moment, but something he's done several times already this year. That's how fast it goes in a game. That's how far ahead these guys are thinking that, oh, coming up next inning, these are the 7 things that could happen. All right. And everybody's talking and coaches are getting guys. And look, it just came together a little quick on him yesterday. And as, you know, Craig Stammen absolutely wore and owned, Ty France bailed them out.
Right. And because Ty France bailed them out, we can talk about it today like, oh, what a learning moment from the manager, and not something bad happened and it cost him a series. Right.
There was a time 2 years ago, Mike Schilt, who Earlier when you were talking about Mike Schilt, or we were talking about Mike Schilt, and I was going to say, you know, you were talking about Craig working together with people and just the environment there. Well, Mike Schilt knew he was the smartest guy in the room. You know, he was. Okay. This is a great baseball manager. Mike Schilt lost track of the number of outs in a game in Philadelphia a couple of years ago. Yeah. You know why? Because you have to, as a manager, you have to be on for 300 pitches a night, mm-hmm. 462 games in 187 days in 50 different cities based on back and forth and all this. It happens.
Right. It does. It absolutely does. Sungmin Song, we're bearing the lead here a little bit. Jake Cronenworth is on the IL with the after effects of what they say is, it's a 7-day concussion IL, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I want to make sure. I'm glad you brought it up, because either because you hear, obviously, right? Guy has a concussion 2.5 weeks ago, right? He's hit. He gets concussion test. He's fine. He plays. He sucks. And they put him on the IL, and people naturally somewhat, right? Including myself, are like, what's up? Other people go straight to their line. Unless Jake Cronenworth, and he's in the wrong business if he is pulling this off, he deserves an Academy Award if he doesn't have a concussion. Mm-hmm. He has a concussion. I covered a lot of the NFL. Ryan, you've covered football. The brain is a crazy thing. Jake is not right. And I can tell you, I talk to Jake all the time. I talk to guys just to have conversations with him, because I'm there every day and just checking in, and maybe you know, makes it to print or not. And there've been a couple of times I'm walking away from Jake and I've thought, huh, that was different. And I didn't know anything about, I didn't think concussion, but now right. In hindsight, I go, oh man, Jake's been off for a couple of weeks. I gotcha. So anyway, wanted to be able to say that.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I don't want to say it's convenient, because that's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm saying is, this may be best for all parties involved. Jake Cronenworth is not hitting. Jake Cronenworth, per you and per your reporting, has not been right for a while since getting hit there. Sungmin Song is a player who I think the Padres wanted to see more of. He was the extra man who they called up from the Mexico City series. You can put Sungmin Song in Jake Cronenworth's old position. And it has worked out here. And because this is the way baseball goes, of course he contributes right away. It's an RBI double, opposite field, at one of the largest, toughest ballparks in the big leagues. What have we seen from Mr. Song here in very limited at-bats?
Well, he's a always smiling, upbeat guy. He's 29 years old, and he never thought he was coming to the majors a few years ago, and here he is. I think he's really happy to be here. A little bit like Ha Sung Kim with the energy. Mm-hmm. The players don't know him yet, but seems mm-hmm. very likable. And you know, look, yeah, everything you said is true. Right down to him being a left-handed hitter, they can have him give guys rest. In addition to primarily filling in for Jake. And look, we don't know. He's got some pop. We'll see. I mean, look, Logan Webb. I know that. He got a hit off Logan Webb, a big hit, opposite field double. Logan Webb, by that point, it was crazy how good Logan Webb was for a couple innings, and then he lost it. And if you look at the Padres' results against Logan Webb, it is either like 8 innings, 1 run, or they do what they did to him the other night. And that's if Logan Webb's slider and sinker are down, or Logan Webb's slider and sinker are up. Basically, I'm simplifying it way too much, but that's what it was. He got a good hit. He got a good hit off a bad pitch by a good pitcher. We need to see more of Sungmin Song.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that he's the kind of guy we talk about having lineup depth. I'm not sure your best Padre team is starting him instead of Jake Cronenworth. I think ideally Jake Cronenworth comes back and returns to sort of who he's been. Having a piece like that off the bench, left-handed hitter, versatile defender, more or less. He's being thrown into it a little bit on the fly here. And somebody who has a little bit of pop, gosh, it makes your team a lot better, doesn't it?
It does. And you nailed it, really. It's like convenient. I don't know. Us two wordsmiths maybe can't come up with a better word. Maybe we're just being sensitive because we don't want it to seem like we're saying, oh, convenient. Ha ha, wink, wink. But Jake gets some rest. Hopefully everything's okay. And maybe then if he's out for a week, two, whatever, there's a rehab, he works on some stuff mechanically, and they get an extended look at Sung Mun Song. Yes.
Right. And again, the beauty of starting 22-14 is that you're not in a hurry necessarily to make up six games in the standings this month, right?
The Phillies have to play every night now for a while, and it seems like they are. The Phillies have to play every night like it's a pennant race already.
Yeah, yeah. And when you start hot, you can afford to say, hey, you know, maybe Jake Cronenworth's back and peaking in a month, right? Yep. They can afford to do that, provided they don't go absolutely in the tank. What's interesting, Kevin, four-game series here against the Cardinals. I think a casual baseball fan would go, another series the Padres should win. But these Cardinals are good. Cardinals are 21-15, second place in the National League Central. This was supposed to be a rebuilding year. They have the seventh best record in the majors. They've won seven of their last 10. Four-game series starting tonight at Petco Park. The Cardinals, they have a negative run differential. So there's your – they're playing well. But have they been
– I'm really interested in what this whole negative – if you look at the standings, there is an epidemic – of low and negative run differentials. And I know that's not what you were saying, but you know how my brain works. So it's dangerous to even say anything to me, Ryan. The negative run differential does support my theory that the Cardinals have the makings of a team. And now they could be special. They don't have a player in their starting lineup over 27. They've got a couple really good young players, but it seems to me to be the, and I don't know this, so this is just me based on what people were saying about the Cardinals before the season, and then looking at their roster and kind of how their season's gone, where they've beat up on some teams and then they surprise some teams. Like, they could be above their skis right now. Like, don't real matter, because guess what? The Padres play them right now. Just like the White Sox may go on to lose 90 games, but when the White Sox were here, they were playing really well. They continue to. They left here, I think, and played fairly well. The Cardinals are right now a really good team that has, like, what? You got Jordan Walker with however many double-digit home runs. You got another, I forget his name, got seven home runs. They got, like, four guys with five home runs. I mean, like, they're hitting. They got some decent pitching. Yeah, this is a tough series. What it looks like. Yes.
Yep. JJ Weatherholt is a guy who interests me. West Virginia guy, was drafted 2 years ago. I mean, he is a child in the big leagues right now. Let's go over starting pitchers real quick. Matthew Liberatore tonight, 1-1 with a 4.5 ERA against Michael King, 3-3 with the 2.95 ERA. King allowed four runs in his last start. That was a season high, but has been trending, I think, in a good way. We talked about Mexico City. Man, them losing that last game totally painted over the fact that I thought Michael King was excellent.
Excellent. He was. And then he was excellent for five. The story of Michael King's season is just like, dang, like battling, right? Like he comes out of every start. Well, this wasn't working. And he's got a 2.9 something ERA. So, yes, he's trending in the right spot.
Absolutely. Michael McGreevy Friday, 2-2 with a 2.52 ERA. He's a former first rounder who's been excellent this year. Quality starts in four of his first seven outings. Going up against Griffin Canning, a guy who I can't wait to watch pitch again. Again, doesn't overwhelm you with necessarily his size. Man, that guy knows how to pitch. Works in and out, mixes speeds, a veteran. Really excited to watch that on Friday. Saturday is Dustin May. We know him, going for the Cardinals. He was a guy who was sort of on the, I think, maybe not the Padres wish list, but one of those guys who you kept seeing connected to the Padres during the offseason. Instead, they went and they got his old Dodger teammate, Walker Buehler. He goes up against Randy Vasquez on Saturday. And then Sunday, it's Kyle Leahy against Walker Buehler. Can we talk about Walker Buehler for a minute, Kevin?
Yeah, we can. Sure.
Very briefly, this is a guy, we've talked about him the last couple podcasts, about him sort of working through it in real time. What have you seen that gives you reason to believe that he's better than his 5.64 ERA?
There are some really good innings. There's some really good outings. He does not have the margin of error he used to have. And so I think based on what he says and what it looks like, he's learning to pitch without that margin of error, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not 97, where going everywhere he wants to. He has different mechanics now. He's not throwing as hard, and he's trying to use different pitches. He's got seven pitches, and sometimes he'll throw that changeup and he'll get rocked. Not just the changeup, but that's like his, you know, seventh pitch, and you know, you got to use it, and then it doesn't go where you want it. And you know, look, he's not what he was. He's a darn good pitcher. Like, yeah. I mean, when I say that, he can be a darn good pitcher for the role they need. He's just no longer anywhere near an ace. He still has that ace mentality, which can get a guy through five and six innings. So, I think he's the guy and you didn't ask this, but like, it's kind of like there, is it him or Walker Buehler when Giolito comes? I mean, I think Walker Buehler is the guy who stays. I think that's where it's trending. I think they see him and they have, and I think his last start was another one probably, you know, was like, oh, yep. Walker's really close.
So Walker Buehler more so than Matt Waldron is what we're saying.
Yeah. Now look, they would love to be able to keep Matt Waldron because of the depth of your rotation situation. I mean, they're going to hate to lose one of these guys, but that's just the reality of it. You don't get to stash Matt Waldron unless I'm wrong and nobody else wants him because he's out of options and has to go on waivers. And he's a guy who, like, if he pitches good and is what is probably his last start before Giolito's ready, like, who's not going to take a chance on Matt Waldron?
Yeah, no, he's fascinating. He's not consistent, but God, he's fascinating to me. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. We don't have a ton of time today, but I'm still going to do it because I know how much you love it. The Padres wrote this week in their medical update to the media that Joe Musgrove and Nick Pivetta are, quote, continuing active rest for the next several weeks. Kevin, you speak Padres PR. What does that mean?
Active rest simply means that they are not throwing, but they are doing all sorts of other things. They're getting treatment. They are working on conditioning. They're playing frisbee with each other in the outfield to have a little fun and mix it up and run around and so that they are still in shape. They're traveling with the team, but we're talking about probably another month before. And I'm just throwing that out there because that's a time I've heard, but not like 1 month from now. But they're another month from throwing, which means they're, you know, 6 weeks from off a mound, which means they're even more, which means their all-star break, August, whatever, from pitching for the Padres, if that happens. No one has ruled out that they could be done for the year. No one has ruled that out. It's not like they're guaranteeing, but they absolutely expect. I have double, triple, quadruple checked that they do expect these guys to pitch again. They don't know how much, they don't know the role, but they do not believe these guys are cooked for 2026. But the reality is, and it's not like apples to apples comparison, but how the Dodgers have been able to be careful with some of their pitchers, their starting pitchers, because look, we're going to the playoffs anyway. We might as well, like, what are we trying to win, 120 games here? Like, and that's not where the Padres are, but they are a playoff team is what they believe. And if they can't get themselves into playoff position without those two guys, then I mean, okay, but they think they can. So let's let these guys get better.
Right. And again, if they can play 500 baseball for the next 2 months, let's say these guys then return to a club that's well-positioned to make the playoffs, and maybe they provide that extra jolt down the stretch or that extra depth down the stretch.
And we've got new owners coming in, and, I don't know if I would say, like, full-on commit to saying, I'll be surprised if they don't add a starter, but, like, or, you know, hey, maybe it's bolstering the bullpen some more. I don't know, but there just is not any chance that AJ Preller, and especially with new ownership, is not going to try to keep this team in contention with you know, bolstering the rotation and or the bullpen in some way.
Right. Sandy Alcantara is out there, Kevin. Sandy Alcantara.
We'll definitely be in for some more June, July speculation and talks about Sandy Alcantara. Yes, believe it all. Sure. Yes.
It's your favorite topic in the world, isn't it? Just wild trade speculation.
It's because it's wild and because it's, there's some, AJ talks to everybody and this year, first off, they wouldn't have made the playoffs in 24 without his moves for the bullpen. You could argue they wouldn't have made it last year without the moves that he made. This is just his time of year, man. Now it'll be interesting how he does it this year. And so can't rule anything out, but the thing I think they might have the flexibility to do this year, rather than do like this net zero, unload salary, get cheap guys, give away prospects to be able to do it, they might be able to add some salary this year.
Right. It could be a pure rental, right? If you look at somebody like an Alcantara, maybe it's as simple as, hey, we'll pay a salary the rest of the way. Right. And then.
Yeah. Because at this point, and I haven't looked at what he makes, but a lot of these guys at the point of the trade deadline, and they might not wait to the trade deadline. So obviously the earlier you do it, the more money you're going to be paying, but you get to the trade deadline and someone's owed $4 million or whatever, $6 million. Right. And it's a lot of money and it was way too much. For current ownership, but indications are that the Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano, we always have to have the E because there's a singer named Jose E. Feliciano. So
that's
Jose
right.
E. Feliciano is going to be the chairman of the Padres, but that they're in. So we'll see.
Yep. Sandy Alcantara makes $17 million this year. This thing.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about then. By the time we get to the trade deadline, he's owed $5.8 million.
Yep. Right. Exactly. Fantastic, Kevin. We went a little bit over today. Thank you so much. 4-game series, Padres Giants at Petco Park, starting tonight at the super inconvenient start time of 7:10. Thank you, ESPN. Those of us with a deadline do not thank you. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.